The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome back to another postgame with your Bastards of Boston Baseball. I'm your host, Charlie Smith. You can find me on Twitter /X at Smith_MLB. With me tonight is going to be Doug Aitchison at DAitchison23, AITCHISON for those keeping score. If you want more Bastards of Boston Baseball content, you're going to need to go to bastardsofbostonbaseball.com. The Red Sox take 2 out of 3 against the Tampa Bay Rays, blowing the third one in fine fashion, 7-3 after winning the first two games, 11-7 and 6-3. Doug, what was your first thought about this game?
It was that we could have had a sweep, and you know, we just blew every chance that they gave us. They weren't even trying to win that game until the very end when they blew it open there at the end, but they were trying to give us that game over and over again, and we just weren't taking it. We were just blowing every chance we had. Base running mistake after base running mistake. There was like three big ones. It's just a squandered opportunity when the teams you're ahead of lose and they finally lose. I mean, the Guardians were 10 in a row and they finally lose, and we choose to lose the same day. It's very disappointing. It's very hard to look at the upsides right now, even though there are some, but it's hard to feel that way right now with, you know, it, you look at the scores, you know, three runs and you say, oh man, you know, we're not hitting right now, but we are hitting. We had 10 hits tonight and we just leave them on base game after game after game. And we're just not driving runs in.
For me, I mean, this is something that we just talked about, like right before we went live on the air. The key base running blunder is sending Romy. I've said it before. You can't take chances. If there's a 50% chance or higher a failure, you can't do that. That's a major no-no. And what happens is you go down quickly 3-0. Like that's a really fast 3-0 deficit. And what's disappointing about that, the reason why it hurts so bad is because you had the bases loaded with two outs. You know, you have two outs, and then you get the runners on base, and then Brandon Lowe on three pitches, strike looking, fouls off, strike swinging. I mean, you can't pinch hit for somebody in the first inning. That's obviously not going to happen, but that's so frustrating. I mean, bases loaded, two outs, you don't score any runs, and then bottom half of the first inning, you've loaded the bases up with no outs. I mean, it's teetering on unforgivable, like with some of the ways that this team finds to lose. And I feel bad because I do like Conley early, and it sucks that this one happened. He faced Oakland twice, and this is the first time that he's actually got a different team. And their starter only allowed one run over 4+. He struck out 9. Overall, the Red Sox struck out 14 times. Willie Abreu, first game back. Great to see him back. DH spot, 4 strikeout performance. Golden sombrero, right? Yep. Or platinum sombrero here. 4 of them. Like this is bad. You know, like just too many mistakes. It wasn't working. You know, you have a little bit of luck with Trevor Story with that kind of weird bounce play defensively, but the game looks a little bit different. You're down 3-0. That would have been 2 runs coming around instead of sending Romy around and him getting thrown out. It's 3-2. You go down 4-2 in the 6th. You score 2 in the 7th. Gentlemen, you don't see Zach Kelly and Tolley out in the 8th and 9th. You see Whitlock. You see Chapman 8th, 9th. We might actually have a sweep here. And instead, we lose the game. We drop to 85 and 71. We got 6 games left. I mean, we're going to have to be checking in on one of our colleagues, Chris, you know, wellness check if we don't take a minimum of you know, three here. But with the foreseeable future, you got three games at Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, and then three games home against Detroit.
Yeah.
We've been saying, we got to get two of those last six games. You probably need to take three now. If you don't take three, there's a chance that you're not in it, you know, which is crazy. And taking a quick look at the wild card standings, or just standings in general, Detroit is trending the wrong way right now. And they were the team that everybody thought was the team you're going to have to get through. Toronto, on fire. Seattle, on fire. Cleveland has a way, and this was talked about in the war room amongst the gentlemen, there is a world where Detroit actually gets bounced out and Cleveland can advance, which would be insane if that happens. But you know what? Six games left. Anything can happen. Right now, Cleveland is the third wild card spot. They've bounced Houston out, which is nuts. There's only a couple teams that have a chance to make some magic happen. The Texas Rangers, their magic number is one or two. Houston is right there with Cleveland. And Detroit's like failing and flailing. So, I mean, there is a path here. And Chris, you know, very eloquently put this out here where there are going to be a couple teams watching playoff games from their couch. And I really hope, like Chris, and I'm going to speak for you too, like you and everybody else, we don't want to be watching those games from our couch again. It's been a while. I'm cool. I really like to see some playoff baseball. But man, oh man, I mean, God, every game, every decision counts. We cannot afford to make mistakes.
Yeah, no, we're basically in the playoffs now. We have to play like it. These next two series have to be playoff baseball in our minds, because you're right. We have to take at least three out of the six, at least. And with, you know, we have a one game lead now on Houston and Cleveland, and we have the tiebreaker with both of them. So it's kind of like a two game lead. So, you know, you win three out of those six, you should be in a good spot, right? Unless one of those teams just win out. But, you know, going back to the Romy play, I mean, I don't know if I ever seen a send as bad as that. When they showed the replay, left fielder was already throwing. He had the ball in his hands throwing it in when he sent him around there. And he was out by a mile. He was only like halfway down the line. Crazy. Right. And then Bregman, I forget who hit it, but they threw the ball away to first while Bregman was – coming from second to third. They threw the ball away and he didn't have his eyes on the play. And when he took third, he had his back completely to the play and didn't even see it go by the first baseman. That could have been another run right there. I don't know what he was doing there. It was like a weird, he got like turned around. It was very weird, but you know, just missed it. And then Duran gets, you know, picked off at first. It's just weird, you know, just bad plays. It's just bad baseball when you need to be playing at your very best, and we're just blunders. And you know, you're right. And it's because it's a butterfly effect type of thing. You know, you say, oh, well, you ended up losing, you know, by four runs or whatever, but it's like those runs don't come in. The game is completely different once things change like that. You know, like you said, Whitlock comes in, Chapman comes in, games are so different, and we just aren't really like we had a real chance right tonight to really seize an opportunity and really put yourself, like I said, it's kind of like a two game lead with the tiebreaker, and then it would be a three game lead with six to play. And that's, you know, you feel pretty good about that, you know. And it's tough, you know, it's you go into Toronto, you have an off day, then you go into Toronto, and you know, you have to make something happen against one of the best teams in the league, the best team in the American League. It's gonna be real tough.
You know, we went into those last couple innings and we were down, right? You have an off day. Why wouldn't you put Whitlock in there in the eighth inning anyways?
Yeah, I thought he should have been in 100% with one run lead. You got to keep that.
It makes sense.
Yeah, like, you got to keep it. It
does not compute. You have him and Chapman, and guess what? 100% chance nobody's pitching tomorrow. Right. That's it. Why did you not at least have one of those two guys in there? Why? It makes no sense. And I mean, here's the thing. You lose 4-3, you lose 7-3. But there's a different psyche, I personally feel, that if you're going into that ninth inning and you need to generate a run, get a guy on base, move him over to second, either stolen base or ground out or bunt or something, and then you work to try to get the game tied. Then you go to extras, and then it's anybody's game. And I don't think Tampa Bay's a great team this year. I mean, they've had their years, and this just ain't one of them. And Boston's had their years, and sadly, here's the facts, guys. Boston Red Sox could be going to the playoffs. They won't go far. And it's not me trying to be negative. It's just the fact that we're making very, very just boneheaded decisions. Like, if I'm sitting there at first base or I'm at second and I'm thinking about being sent around, I'm thinking, okay, cool. Yeah, you have to trust the third base coach, and I don't know what the ramifications would be if he stayed at third, because then if he stays at third, the play goes in, he doesn't run home. Well, he would have scored. We never would have known. We'd be arguing it both ways. It sucks.
Yeah.
The facts are, though, that this team, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, we are not good enough that we can make those mistakes. Every out counts. Every out as a pitcher counts, and every out when you're on offense counts. Because getting picked off, getting thrown out at home, that's two outs right there. That's two extra at-bats that we would have had that we don't have now. You know, it's not the same. I don't look at it the same way if it's like a double play. You got into a double play, you line into a double play, or, you know, sack fly, you're hoping it's a sack fly, and then he gets thrown out at home. That's different. That's not giving runs away, unless it's like a really blatantly bad run, right? You're out by a mile. But getting picked off, perhaps like a dumb moment to steal a base or bad send, those are bad outs to give. And when you need one or two outs, I mean, here's the thing. Whitlock or Chapman comes in the eighth inning. Who would have been the next two batters in the ninth inning on paper? The last out was Yoshida, I think, right? He grounded out to first.
Yeah, so always. I think it was Story, Bregman, Yoshida, I think.
Right.
So you had
Romy Gonzalez, who was 2-for-2 with two walks, and then Lowe with a 3-strikeout game. So here's the thing. Maybe we don't go anywhere. But if we're up 4-3, maybe Romy hits a home run. You know? Yeah. So it's just really just unfortunate is what it comes down to. And I hate to say it, but, you know, before the year started, we all gave our wins total. And I thought, oh, man, 88, we're going to blow past that at this point. Now, if we go 3-3 for the rest of the year, there's your 88. And the sad thing is that 88 wins might not even get you there. So 2 wins isn't enough. You need to have 3. I think if you win 2, you get bounced at this point. Cleveland is playing out of their minds right now. Absolutely incredible baseball. Incredible baseball. Boston Red Sox, not playing incredible baseball. In fact, playing bad baseball. So Giolito needs to figure it out. I'm hoping that he can handle it, because that's 2 of the 6 starts. You know, so I'm looking at it on paper. I think we'll probably win one of Giolito's starts. He'll split. He'll win one, he'll lose one. Whether he gets a decision or not, I don't know. Crochet, he's going to win his start. Whether he gets the win or not, I don't know. I hope he does in the quest to get the Cy Young. I know people are going to call me crazy. I still think he's been more valuable to his team than Tarik Skubal has been for his. You know, Tarik Skubal has not been able to generate the wins the same way. And yeah, his whip is a little bit lower. His ERA is a little bit lower. But at the end of the day, I personally think it's going to be Crochet. And honestly, either way, doesn't matter. Whichever one wins it is going to be deserving. I'll say that much.
Yeah, for sure.
So we're left now wondering, like, I'm not going to sleep well tonight. I'm not going to sleep well. I'm sick too, which doesn't help. But the next 2 nights, I'm not going to sleep well, because we have 6 days that if you give up runs in the first or second inning, I don't have the confidence that the Boston Red Sox are going to be able to not only tie the game up and get ahead, but, you know, not let that get in their head essentially and say, okay, we lost this one, you know?
Yeah. And going back to Connolly, you know, he had a really tough first inning. You know, he couldn't locate, you know, he walked, had the bases loaded really early on some walks, you know, but then his next three innings, he settled down and he still looked pretty good. You know, he still showed the ability to be able to settle down after a big inning like that, you know, at his age. I thought we should have, they only let him throw four. He didn't even throw 70 pitches. You know, I would have liked to see him get the fifth. You know, and try to push that a little bit more, but that didn't really turn out to be the difference. But I still would have liked it just to see him, you know, because I still have a lot of faith in him. I think he's very good, and he had a bad inning. He, you know, they got to him really early, but you know, he settled in and he didn't let up another run those next three innings. He stayed at three, and you know, he got some strikeouts. You know, he did have some walk problems, but I still have a lot of faith in Connolly early to start. You know, to be our fourth starter if we need him in the playoffs, if we need a fourth starter, which we probably won't. But I don't know if we'll make it four games. But,
right,
you know, but he still showed some signs of, even after a tough first inning, that we can still believe in him, I think. And it's a good young arm.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, like you mentioned, he settled down. There was one inning where he had he got a double play, he got a couple ground outs. So he's kind of working the infield. He was being smart. The first inning just really, you know, like you said, it killed him. It took him out of the game. And that can be some pitcher's bugaboo when things just don't go right. He gave up three runs on two hits and he walked two, and I think he struck out two that inning too. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you look at it, I don't know how many pitches he threw after the first inning. I think that was the concern.
Yeah, I don't know.
What if he doesn't get out of the fifth? And I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, these games matter. If it's only 4-2 or 4-3, however you want to look at it, why wouldn't you give him another inning? Because honestly, as soon as I see Steven Matz go out there, I'm getting the negative feeling, you know, like Kelly has done okay. He's not great. Toley hasn't done that great as of late. You know, lately he's been pretty bad.
Yeah.
But I see Mets come out, Steven Matz come out, and I'm like, okay, I guess we're bringing in the, you know, the guys that we put in when we don't have confidence that we're going to win the game. And that's the unfortunate thing.
Yeah, it is. It's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate. It felt like they didn't believe we were going to score that last run in the ninth, and let's just throw out Kelly and Toley. And they just, you know, it's the thing with these young guys, you know, with Connolly, you know, and then we see it with Toley. It's really just with these young guys, it's sometimes it's their location. They just can't locate the ball. And early couldn't find the strike zone in the first inning. And that's all it takes. You know, when you're pitching in the big leagues, that's all it takes. You know, these guys aren't going to let you get away with mistakes like that. And, right. You know, and he couldn't locate his pitches, and, you know, they made him pay and we couldn't back him up. It's really what it comes down to, and which has been our problem a lot. You know, our starting pitching isn't the problem, and it never has been all year, you know, but it's, you know, when they do have the biggest problem is when they do have a hiccup, we're just not backing them up and we're not giving them the runs and the support they need.
Well, we're now at a really unique place. I mean, earlier this year, I have said it in the past that, you know, these are the, you know, the games that don't really matter. Games have never mattered so much. And we're catching Detroit at a pretty good time.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto is, you know, they're running away with the division, and great for them. You know, they're a fun team to watch. If we win three games, it will be one against Toronto and two against Detroit. I don't see us winning two against Toronto. It'd be amazing. I mean, if you start off with two wins against Toronto, dude, I am feeling so much better about our chances. But if you go down 0-2 to Toronto, there's a possibility that before the third game, we're actually not the third wildcard spot. We're like the team looking in, you know? So, I mean, with every win that the Red Sox get, that Cleveland gets, it's great for one sense, because we don't have to worry about Texas anymore. Like, I don't think a lot of people are really too worried about Texas, but, you know, Texas and Kansas City are those teams on the outside looking in. Right now, your threat teams are, you know, New York, and they're several games above the Red Sox. I don't think they have anything to worry about. Us, you have the Guardians that are knocking on the door, and the Houston Astros also knocking on the door. And again, the crazy thing about it is, you know, if Detroit does have an absolute monumental collapse, there's a chance that Cleveland would get the division. Detroit's on the outside looking in, but I'm not really threatened by them. And that's at that point, because I feel like they might already be, you know, in their heads done. But Steven Matz gave up that home run as soon as that tank job to deep right. It was like, they said 380 feet, but that looked a lot farther. As soon as he hit that shot, I was like, this is done. Like, yeah. You brought in the wrong guys to give the impression that you have a chance to take this game back. We don't have an elite bullpen. You have an elite eighth inning guy when he pitches, and you have the best closer in baseball. The rest of your bullpen, hit or miss. They could be great or they could blow it. It's not their fault. They're just not Garrett Whitlock or Aroldis Chapman. That's it.
Yeah. No, Matt's let that hanger. I mean, it was just right over the plate.
Oh, God.
Just an easy curve. I mean, everyone in the league's hitting that out.
100%. I could not. As soon as I saw it, I was like, that's not good. Like, you see it, and as soon as it hits the bat, it's that Moneyball moment when Scott Hatterberg rips it to deep right center field where everything just goes quiet and all you hear is the bat crack. That's what I heard as soon as I saw that pitch. As soon as it made contact, I knew it was gone. No doubter.
Shout out Scott Hatterberg, Red Sox legend.
Yeah, exactly. For real, honestly. Just absolute legend. So, you know, Jules over here is saying that Early is our number two option right now. Fact. I don't know if I quite think that that's the case. I mean, I think it's kind of throwing some shade to Giolito or Ryan Baio, but I definitely think he's going to be your four guy, to your point. Dougie, you already mentioned it. And then right after that too, this is the other thing. He did get bothered by Simpson there, and he wasn't able to really get back in the zone. Simpson isn't a regular runner. Simpson is one of the fastest people in the league. And they're talking about a quick lefty with a pretty good step off or throw over to first base. It's harder to steal second base than it is to steal third. He wasn't concerned about the runner stealing second because there was somebody on second base. He didn't want Simpson to take third. At the end of the day, it didn't matter because those guys ended up coming around to score anyways. So he's just got to get into the mindset like, okay, there's runners at first and second. Just get the out. Get a strikeout. Get a ground out. Do something. Just focus on the next out. That's the most important thing. 27 is the number. After you get one, 26 is your number. And you just keep starting, you know, throwing slashes out until you get all 27. This is great for Early too. I know it sucks, but you know what? This is the moment that you need to have before the playoffs, if we get there, where you need to have that experience with runners at first and second and say, okay, cool, this is what it's like. This is, I got to learn to pitch in this manner. Because if your first experience with runners at first and second and no outs is in the playoffs, that's kind of scary and kind of crappy because that doesn't really set you up for success. So great that it happened against Tampa Bay. It sucks that a couple runs did end up coming around a score in the first inning, but that's, you know, you can't do anything about that. So,
yeah, no, I agree. That's a very good point. You don't want to see him like go into the playoffs still untouched and stuff like that.
Yeah. Imagine if his next game was sorry. I didn't cut you off. Go ahead.
No. I was done.
His first appearance, he strikes out 11, which tied a Red Sox rookie first game record. And then after that, imagine if this was his very next game and this is the playoffs. That would shatter your confidence a little bit. That would shatter mine. I'm thinking, wow, I'm on cloud nine. Struck out 11 my first game. Then I got shell-shocked, and that was it. So I don't know. Is there anything else you want to add about this series even? Or do you want to go right into this upcoming set?
Yeah, we can go with looking ahead.
All right. So three game set, Toronto in Toronto. You got Giolito against Kevin Gausman. I'm not sure what you're thinking about that one, but this could be tough. If Giolito is going up against Kevin Gausman, he's done very well against certain teams that are also against, you know, how do I phrase this the right way? He does really well against teams that do very, very well. He shut out the Houston Astros, threw a two-hitter, struck out nine. He's been pretty good over his last four games. I don't know. I don't know how you see this one going, but I sadly don't have it going our way.
Yeah, no, he's tough. And, you know, he's got a lot of decisions on his record, you know, which he's out, he stays out there. He throws a lot of innings. And it's just Giolito is just going to have to throw the best game of his season right now. You know, he really needs to just show up and have one of those 7-8 inning games that he had, you know, in the middle of the season when he was really feeling it. And because this is the time, you know, this is it. This is basically a playoff series. This is basically playoff baseball. You know, Toronto clinched their playoff series, clinched their berth. I don't think they've clinched the division yet, but they will probably very soon.
Right.
You know, and you just got to go in there. You got to go in there and you got to expect to not, you know, if you're the lineup, you got to go in there expecting to score, that they're going to score runs.
Right.
That the Toronto Blue Jays aren't going to get shut out. They're not going to get two runs. You know, they're going to score runs no matter how good our pitching is. So the lineup really has to come really, just really prepared, focused in on giving Giolito some support, because you can't expect him to go out and throw seven shutout. You know, and the same with our managers. You know, I don't want to see him pulled after 2-3 runs. It's, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays score runs. Right. So, you know, I'd like to just see him, you know, grind through a game, get six, you know, try to get seven, and our lineup better feel a back against the wall type of pressure on Tuesday.
Right. So I don't think we're going to win the first game.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit nervous about the series in general. I wish we were facing Detroit six times, to be honest. I don't have the Red Sox winning game one. I think Gausman is just been too hot. Lucas Giolito has had a couple of blunders in two of the last three. And, you know, his last win came in August. He didn't lose in August, but he's 0-2 so far in September. And he's allowed the same number of runs in six starts as he has in three so far this month. So I think we're starting to get the candles burning very dimly here for game one. Game two, Garrett Crochet, Max Scherzer. You have to win this. Excuse me. You have to win this game. You have to win. There's really nothing else you can say outside of that. I mean, Scherzer is 41 years old. Garrett Crochet is 26. That's right. Max Scherzer was in high school before Garrett Crochet was born and he was striking kids out. If you don't win this game, I'm going to say it right now. If you do not win Crochet's game, I think that's a nail in the coffin. I think that is the Red Sox waving the flag saying, we are spent. We are done. It's not happening. That said, I want the Boston Red Sox to win game two because they have to win game two. This is also going to cement his Cy Young candidacy. I just hope that if he allows one or two runs, we're able to generate three for him. You know, how do you have game two going?
I got us winning game two because I have, you know, I got Crochet, you know, Scherzer is, you know, he hasn't had a great year. He's, you know, he's not awful still, you know, but Crochet is, you know, the best pitcher. He needs to show it. He needs to, you know, get his 18th win, and that'll be huge for his Cy Young candidacy. And he needs to shove. He just really, really needs to go out there. You know, he had a pretty good game last game. He let up a couple home runs, but I think other than that, I don't think he let up any runs outside his home runs. And we did give him some support, you know, so that's it. The pitching, you know, I'm really not thinking about the pitching much. I'm really just thinking about the lineup. You know, like I do trust our pitching, even though I'm not, you know, I don't trust Gio and Bayo like as much as I did at one point. But I don't just have no faith in them. it's the lineup that is really hard to trust and is really hard to have faith in right now. You know, so if the lineup shows up, if we're hitting, if we're scoring runs, then I feel like whatever starter we have on the mound, we have, we're gonna win the game when our lineup is really showing up, scoring, you know, 6, 7, 8+. That's when, you know, that's when I feel good about this team. And that's because our pitching can show up all they want and pitch great, you know, let up 2 runs, 3 runs. If we're not giving them the support, if we're not driving the runs in, it doesn't matter how good our pitching is.
So I'm going to say this much. I got Crochet winning game 2. I think this is the only game that the Red Sox really have a realistic chance of winning. Game 3, you have Brian Bayo going up against Shane Bieber, and I think that Bieber is going to get it. And that's the thing. And that's why I have to win game 2. If you don't win game 2, there's a chance that the Toronto Blue Jays sweep the Red Sox. And, I mean, not on paper, knock us out of the playoffs. But, I mean, what would you put to a percentage of the Red Sox shutting out Toronto? I would say 0.
Zero. Okay. Yeah.
Now, what about the Boston Red Sox getting swept by Toronto?
Not 0.
Right. That's the problem. That's the problem right there. Right. Your starters are taxed. Giolito's got a lot of mileage. Crochet has pitched the most he's ever gone in a year. And then Bayo also doing everything he can, and they're trying to dig deep and press. It's just not working. You know, certain things are just not working. So I'm going to put it at a 30% chance that the Toronto Blue Jays could sweep the Boston Red Sox. If they win game 2, it's a sweep. It's curtains for the Boston Red Sox in 2025. And it sucks to say that. I mean, I don't think you're going to sweep Detroit. I don't think that's happening. You know, I don't know if we quite have that lineup yet. I don't want to go into that because that's 3 extra games. We'll let the other crew do that group. But yeah, man, fingers crossed. If you're a believer, if you go to church, please go twice. The Red Sox need you. But
yeah, the only thing that could possibly help us drop in those games is the Guardians and the Tigers has start a series on Tuesday, right? So whoever loses those games,
you need one of those teams. So wait, who are the last? Do you have the last 6 games for each team?
So yeah, let's see. So they go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're going. They've Tigers, Guardians, and then the Tigers come here Friday.
So,
and the Guardians have the Rangers, who will be out of it.
All right. So if the Guardians and the Tigers are facing off against each other, that's literally a team that we have to be worried about. We would need, since Detroit is winning, we would need Cleveland to get swept, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Whoever wins 2 out of 3, because Cleveland's only a game behind Detroit.
And Houston, I now have to look at this because I'm very curious to see how this could possibly play out, and it could get really spicy. Houston's last 6, they face Oakland for 3 and then the Angels for 3. So they have a big cupcake setup for the last 6.
Yeah.
That's a reason enough that you need to say you need to win 3 of the next 6 games. You probably really need to win 4, honestly.
Yeah.
2.
That should be the goal.
You need to take 2 out of 3 from both series. And I think you're going to get that from Detroit. I just don't know if you're going to get that from Toronto. Anything else you want to add, my friend?
Yeah. No. That's...
Well, that is going to do it for the Bastards and your post-game show. This has been the Bastards of Boston Baseball with Doug and Charlie. Go Red Sox. Big upcoming series with Toronto. Everyone, take care.